Do you hear me? Do you care? Podcast, Pirate Ship Radio. My name is Darian. I am your captain, and I am speaking 13 motherfucking years, and I'm still here, baby. And so are you. Why? Because we don't have anything else better to do, I suppose. We got some horror stuff to talk about. You're a horror fan. I'm a horror fan. If we're both horror fans, then we can talk pretty much in perpetuity about horror bullshit. We might as well do it. I'm here, you're there. Let's get it going. What's going on, everybody? I have had an interesting week. I'll spare you the depressing details, but I'm here by myself. That's right, boys and girls. It's a solo show. Sorry. Buddy had to work late. Jason, I don't know, I think he's looking at property in Tennessee or whatever. Whatever he's up to. I have no idea what that guy's doing. It's just me this week, inmates. I do apologize. I am shopping new co-hosts. If anybody's interested in joining me on a weekly basis, I'm not going bi-weekly. Fuck that shit. And I am not going once a month, and I am not going... I will be here every motherfucking week, whether you want me to or not, goddammit. So, I've got some potted plants that I can bring in here. I've got some, I can bring my dogs, Roxy and Rubble. They don't know anything about horror movies, but they can do it. I can tag my main man, Deacon, in. Come over here, Deke. No, those mics are off. Come use this one. I can tag Deacon in. He's down for a show every now and then.
Yeah, what's up?
See that? There he is. He's right there. There he is. He's threatening me with Nerf guns and stuff, ladies and gentlemen. But I am still here, and we will do a show whether I want to or you want to, or as long as there's somebody out there that's actually downloading this fucking thing, then I will continue to do it. I got horror news. I got listener mail. I got all the usual things happening. How about I kick things off with a little horror news, you motherfuckers?
Horror news.
All right, so this first thing I was pretty excited about for a hot second, and but then I read the story, and then I wasn't all that excited, but then now I think I should go back, and I might get excited again. Have you guys ever seen a movie called Night Watch? Now, okay, so hear me out. I saw it. There's a sequel coming out to Night Watch, which apparently is a 1994 Danish film. I read that and thought to myself, fucking A, there's two movies that came out in the, I want to say, 2005 to 2010 range, Night Watch and Day Watch. They're Russian. They're about warring factions of good versus evil. They're fucking amazing, dude. The Russians... at least that time, didn't screw anything up. I forget the name of the director, but he did that Wanted movie with Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy. But those two movies are pretty fucking good. They like shapeshift and stuff. It's a whole ass thing. I thought this was going to be finally a third installment, because apparently that was supposed to be a trilogy, but it's not. It's a completely different Night Watch movie. It's Danish. It's from 1994. Night Watch, Demons Are Forever is going to hit Shudder May 17th. I don't know. Do I need to go back and track down the original Night Watch from 1994, the Danish one? Is it worth checking out? I've never heard of it. I'm sure there are at least a good fistful of movies called Night Watch that I have not seen. But one of them is really good, and it's the Russian one. And it's, you know, it backs up nicely to Day Watch, which is the sequel. So you should probably look at those. Maybe find the Danish one if you're interested. I don't know. I'll probably check it out at some point. What else we got here? It looks like creature effects have already begun for Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Are we ready for Five Nights at Freddy's 2? Matthew Lillard is attached, and he's been tweeting about this for the last, well, really ever since Five Nights at Freddy's came out. So, good for him. I like him. The movie was fine. It was all right. It kind of went off the rails a little bit, straying away from the original video game. But, I mean, come on. We're talking about animatronic fucking things at basically a Chuck E. Cheese. If you want to see better versions of that, check out Willy's Wonderland or that banana fucking, what is the other one? Banana Republic or something? I don't know. Anyway, that's something to look forward to. Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Also, something to look forward to, within the next 24 hours of me recording this podcast, and you getting it, because I put it out as soon as I'm done recording, you will have a trailer for Joker Folie à Deux. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm excited. Lady Gaga coming in as Harley Quinn. I don't know which Batman. This is the problem with the DC universe right here. We've got a impacted colon full of Batmans, Batmen, I suppose, and any one of them could come back. We just saw Michael Keaton show back up in that Flash movie. So Christian Bale, maybe Ben Affleck, who knows? Probably not Val Kilmer, but with the things they're doing with technology, who knows, man? I don't know which way we're going with this. So obviously they're tying this to a Batman. I don't know which Batman yet. I hope it's not George Clooney. And I don't think it can be the Robert Pattinson one either. Because we kind of had a half-assed Joker sighting there towards the end. It wasn't Joaquin Phoenix, that's for sure. Anyway, something to look forward to. Also, something to look forward to, you Mortal Kombat players like me, Ermac is going to join Mortal Kombat 1 next week as downloadable content. Now, I don't know about Mortal Kombat 1, dudes. Here's the thing. let me put my highfalutin Mortal Kombat doofus hat on here for a second. Mortal Kombat. Okay, so without launching a Mortal Kombat podcast, which is what I would basically have to do to break down the entire lore of the game, I will say that this is the second reset of the timeline. They did it at the end of Mortal Kombat 9. No, at the end of Mortal Kombat 8, start of Mortal Kombat 9, where they basically just hit a reset button and started all over with the original tournament, which was fine. Now we have erased time itself, and Liu Kang is writing the timeline, and everything is kind of jacked off. Yeah, apparently Kuai Liang is now Scorpion. What happened to Hanzo Hisashi? I have no idea. What else you got here? Reptile is some kind of an indentured servant. What? Okay, so again, I don't want to go off on a rant here, but let me explain to you the character concept of Ermac. Ermac is supposed to be a living prison. He is a rotting carcass that Shang Tsung sends all of the souls to that he steals, and they basically all live in the same body and fight for control over it. They basically become like a dead soul collective, right? That's how it's supposed to be. In Mortal Kombat 1, this latest one, Ermac is now a zombie version of Sindel's husband, Jared, I think. It's very strange. I don't know that And it got this weird cameo fighter situation. It's growing on me. I'm always pissed off at the new Mortal Kombat game at first, because it inevitably does not have three or four characters that I feel like I need to have. But then it grows on me, and then I'm okay with it. And I don't know. I need me some Hanzo Hasashi. What the fuck happened to Scorpion? Kuai Liang is part of the Lin Kuei. He's always has been. In this new one, there is no Shirai Ryu. Explain that to me. There's no fucking Shirai Ryu? Okay. I don't want to. One of these days I'll do like a whole Mortal Kombat breakdown, but for right now, if I continue talking about this, I'm going to pull my pubes out or something. Anyway, also, lastly, it looks like trailers are up for Maxine. Now, this is the third installment in the Ty West trilogy. You have X, the prequel, Pearl, and now the follow-up, Maxine, which appears to take place in 1980s Los Angeles during the porno VHS boom. So, I watched the trailer. It looks pretty good. I'm going to check it out. It looks good. I will say it looks good. And X obviously didn't disappoint, and neither did Pearl. And so, I'm excited for Maxine. Let's check it out. Let's button this thing up, I think, is what we need to do. That's all I got on the horror news, you maniacs. I think it's time for some listener mail.
Listener mail.
Yes, ma'am. No email. Excuse me. No emails this week, but we do have a voicemail or two. Why don't we kick things off all the way over in beautiful Anderson, Indiana? Here comes Coop Newcomb.
Hello. I would like to get this call out of the way because I know I'll forget later.
Let's
if
knock
I don't
it
do
out.
It now.
Coop. You son of a bitch.
So, Three on a Meat Hook.
Yeah.
What was it? The worst zombie movie.
Ones that you hated.
First one I'm going to tell you I know a lot of people liked.
What's that?
I know I'm going to piss a couple people off with this one, but huh. I did not care for World War Z.
Me neither.
It felt more video game-ish, like a cartoon. I don't know if it was like the CGI in it just wasn't getting me.
I get that.
I don't know. I mean, I know they weren't like our traditional undead, but I don't know.
I can tell you.
I thought it was crap.
Okay. I'm with you.
Number two is The Return of the Living Dead, Rave to the Grave. I thought that was horrible.
Yugoslavian. It is horrible. Pretty much
and
all those.
Number one. I think, Darian, you might have said this last week, that House of the Dead,
yeah.
That video game. The video game, I remember playing that in the arcade and stuff. I always thought that was fun.
Had a pump-action cool. shotgun.
And that movie was,
it was
nothing like it. It was just dumb as shit.
Poo-poo.
Anyway, that's it. I wanted to tell you, there's a trailer out for the, I know that. Some what? Of you may or may not be into the Mad Max.
I like
the
Mad Max.
Mad Max movies coming out, but there's sure. another one I just saw the trailer for with
Furiosa.
What's that girl's name? Anya Taylor-Joy
yeah.
or whatever. Looks pretty good.
Prequel. I don't know if it's going to have Mad Max in
Thor.
It.
I don't know. I was kind of excited about it. I don't know. There's been a lot of shit movies this year, so
I agree.
Take what I can get. Anyway,
yeah,
you guys have a good one.
Beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Coop. A couple of things. First off, World War Z. I can tell you right now what's wrong with that movie. And I can sum it up in one word. Actually, some numbers, I think. PG-13. Okay? PG-13. You're telling me we have a what was supposed to be a multi-million-dollar summer blockbuster with zombies in it, and it's rated PG-13? Every time a zombie attacks somebody in that movie, we basically take the camera, throw it up in the air, and spin it around 50,000 times, and then the person is dead. So there's, like, if you watch that movie, there's really not all that much in the way of blood or gore or anything. And very little, I mean, there is some violence, but it's all so cartoony with the CGI. I wasn't a fan. What I was a fan of, and this is almost makes it worse in a way, is the book. Read the book, World War Z. It's fantastic. It was written by Max Brooks, who is Mel Brooks' son. Yeah, how about that shit? And it's written in such a way that it's just like a compiled series of interviews from random people as we go through different parts of the zombie apocalypse and get back to where, you know, we're retaking part the planet, basically. It's a really good book. So I would recommend that. If you, all the people I know that liked World War Z never read the book. So reading the book may, in fact, ruin the movie for you. That happens. Sometimes you watch a movie and it ruins the book, like The Shining. That's a whole other thing. We don't need to get into that. Right on, Coop. Thanks for calling in, amigo. Let's get down to our main man in Alabama. Alan's in the house.
Padded room, what's up?
What's up, Alan?
Everybody's doing good.
I made it.
So, Meat Hook, yeah. Bottom zombie films.
What do you think?
The ones you hate. Number one, because I had such high hopes for it. I was so excited.
Yeah?
Diarrhea of the Dead.
Good, you motherfucker.
What the fuck was on that arm?
I can't.
Anyway, number two,
okay.
I'm going to go with that fucking Dawn of the or Day of the Dead remake.
They're both shit.
I couldn't finish it.
There's two of them. They're both crap.
He's shit.
Yeah.
And number three,
huh.
Another one I didn't finish. I'm going to go with Zombie 3.
Okay.
That one, Zombie 4. It had some mutant piranhas in it or something. And once again, I couldn't finish it.
Okay.
Mr. Darien, are you...
Come on.
The Haunting... From 1963,
no.
Or maybe House on Haunted Hill.
No.
I don't know. It sounds kind of like it could be one of those.
You're right there in the neighborhood.
I'm not sure.
Ah.
I started that festival of Living Dead, the Saskas did.
Yeah.
Man, I just ain't feeling it.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's the bottom of the barrel yet, but I ain't finished it.
Oh,
no. Stopped to watch WrestleMania and hadn't picked it back up.
Okay.
Hope
Fair
all
enough.
Is well. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Beautiful. Love you, Alan. Yeah, it popped up. I think I saw it on, what is it, Netflix, I think? It showed up on, or was it Tubi? I don't know. Festival of the Dead, dude. I know a lot of people are hot in the panties for it. Saska Twins doing a zombie apocalypse situation. I don't know, man. I watched a couple of the trailers, and I saw, like, some of the print reviews, and it doesn't look like it's going to be my jam. So, I don't know. I don't know, dude. I feel like... I'm going in predisposed to wanting to like it, but at the same time, if it turns out to be a shit movie, and I can't find something in there to hold on to, you know what I mean? To hitch my wagon to, then it's just going to hurt so much more. Alan, you know what I mean? And I don't know if I want to fall in love again just to be hurt again, especially with two hot Canadian twins, because they've usually kept me satisfied. I love the Saska twins, except for that fucking game show. That was dumb. Right on, man. Thank you for calling in, Alan. That is all I have on the listener mail segment this week, fellas. So, thank you guys, Alan and Cooper. If you feel the need to get a hold of me, it's very simple. Go to paddedroompodcast.com, hit the mail link, it'll bring you right to the show here. Or you call me on the mental health hotline, area code 775-387-0275. Tell me I need to watch Festival of the Dead. Give me a reason to watch that movie. Because I'm watching the trailers, and I'm looking at reviews, and I'm not seeing one. And I'm sure the Saska twins will show up in it as some kind of a hot little twinsy goth situation. But I need more than that. I'm 45 years old. I can't pull my dick the way I used to just chicks walking in and out of a room. You know what I mean? So I need something besides that. Give me a good plot. Give me some special effects. Or just tell me to fuck off. Tell me you're sick of my voice. That's fine. I can deal with trolls, too. All right. Anyway, I think speaking of trolls, I think it's time to get into a movie. I got a doozy for you here, inmates. You're going to love it.
I don't know where you are, but you can tell your dad he's got to turn around.
You guys got to get here now, okay?
Take the shortcut home.
Tonight.
Honey, call 911.
Dead will rise. Lock the doors. Bar the windows.
No one is leaving this house.
And pray for dawn. And Piranha 3DD. Zombie Night.
Well, that sounded intense, didn't it? It's Zombie Night, ladies and gentlemen, from 2013. As the trailer alluded to, it's starring Anthony Michael Hall, Daryl Hannah, and Alan Ruck. Directed by John Gulager. Written by Richard Schenkman. Schenkman? It's rated TV-14 and got 3.5 stars on IMDb. Oh! I knew I was in trouble, really, as soon as I hit play on Tubi. Because you could stream this one on Tubi. I'm going to make an argument that this one might actually be so bad it's good. Because it's unintentionally hilarious. We've got some absolutely ridiculous performances going on here. We have the most batshit crazy old lady that just kind of bumblefucks her way. Unfortunately, she only makes it about 12 minutes into the movie before she dies. But that 12 minutes, man, it is fucking comedy gold. Anyway, as soon as I hit play on the streaming remote, first thing that popped up was Sci-Fi Presents. And I said, oh no. Oh no. And then the next thing that popped up was an Asylum production. And I said, ah, shit. You know that scene in the movie? Remember, what was it? Pet Sematary, the original from 1989, when Gage first gets run over. And Dale Midkiff is running towards the road, and he's going, no! That's what I did when the Asylum popped up. No! Oh, no. We are in trouble, inmates. All right. Well, that's where we're at. So I picked this movie. It's my fault. But actually, I think it is so bad that... people need to watch it because it's fucking hilarious. It's not supposed to be, but it's goddamn hilarious. Anyway, we start off in a traffic jam, and okay, it's never stated, but it's alluded to that somehow via telecommunications and just you know, social media and things like that, that we know. Or the characters in the film know that the zombie apocalypse is coming and it's going to happen tonight and we are eagerly awaiting it, so everybody's kind of in a panic mode. Now, our story picks up with two families that live next door to each other. We have the Maddens and we have the Jacksons, okay? Affluent families, very big houses. The Maddens happen to have a safe room in their upstairs. And the Jackson's daughter, Tracy, is dating Perry Madden, who is the teenage son of the Madden family. So, good for them. Excellent. The Jackson clan is headed by Dad Jackson. I forget his name, but he's played by Anthony Michael Hall. And his wife, played by Daryl Hannah, played by a lady, the character's name is Birdie. Has anybody actually named their daughter Birdie? Because if they have, you just don't. That's a terrible name. Birdie? Is that short for something? What is it short for? Birdemic? Birdula? I don't know. Why would you go by Birdie? That sounds ridiculous. Hey, I was born into a career as a child's TV show star. My name is Birdie. Okay, that makes sense. Get the fuck out of here, Birdie. Anyway, her name's Birdie. And Birdie's mom, who is the batshit crazy old lady that I mentioned, is also living with them. Next door, we have the Maddens. We have Dad Madden, who's played by Alan Ruck. His wife, who is seemingly a trophy wife. The aforementioned teenage son, Perry. And then we have a younger son named Alan, probably about 8 or 9 years old. So our story is going to pick up with Anthony Michael Hall and his teenage daughter, Tracy, trying to get home. They also have one of Tracy's friends, Rachel, with them. Everybody's panicking because they know the zombie apocalypse is about to start, so very scary, trying to get supplies and all that shit. The plan for these two families is Anthony Michael Hall went to pick up the daughter, Tracy, and now they're on their way back. As soon as they get back, they're all going to go over to the Madden's house, and they're going to wait this thing out in their safe room. So that's a solid plan, except that the car is stuck in traffic. So Anthony Michael Hall and the two teenage girls are sitting in the car. Cut back to the Jackson house. We have Birdie and her mom there at the house, as well as a cleaning lady by the name of Irina. I think she's supposed to be Russian, but the actress had a very difficult time with the accent. So she kind of almost sounded more Indian in a weird way, but she's a white lady, so there's that. Very interesting. Birdie is, she's got to take care of her mom, and her mom is amazing. Now, I thought at first that the mom was supposed to be blind or possibly an alcoholic. I can't tell you for sure, because the mom just kind of like never makes eye, because she's just always looking around the room, like up at the ceiling. So I thought, okay, she can't see anything. That's fine. Except in a few scenes from now, she's going to have to go down a dark hallway, and sure as shit, she picks up a lantern before she does. So, no, old lady, you're not blind. I don't know what kind of character direction the director gave you here, but I think you're just stupid. I think the character is just some, I don't know, just a dumb person. She's just dumb. My mom is dumb. I'm sorry. anyway, the zombie apocalypse is like literally minutes away. The car stuck in traffic finally gets up there. We find out that there's a nasty accident. As Anthony Michael Hall drives past, his daughter Tracy looks out the window. She sees a dead body laying on the pavement, and they've got it covered in a tarp. And as they slowly creep past it, the dead body starts to move a little bit. So, oh yeah, it's showtime. Birdie is calling Anthony Michael Hall, and he's like, yeah, we're stuck in traffic. We'll be there as soon as we can. So he's like, we got to take a detour. So he peels off the road and tries to take a side street. Now we're going to cut to one random cop who's trying to maintain law and order at this traffic accident. Another cop from the precinct calls, and she's like, hey, everybody's here at the precinct wanting us to keep them safe. What are we supposed to do? Now, okay, weird. I guess apocalyptic situation. People might go to a police precinct, but here's the really weird part about it. This particular precinct also has a morgue, and in the morgue is just like there's the, like the morgue, which has like the freezer shelves. You know what I'm talking about? But outside of that, they just have like stacks of random dead bodies, and she's running around like, I heard something from the morgue. So she goes back there in the morgue, and of course the zombies are about to start popping up. On top of that, you have a panicked crowd outside trying to get in for protection. What? Okay. Am I unaware? Do I need an education on police precincts? Do they actually have morgues in the building? It doesn't make any fucking sense if they do. Why would you do that? How many people are dying inside the police precinct? Not the jail, the police precinct. That's a weird place to put a morgue, don't you think? All right, whatever. For the purposes of this movie, there is a morgue there in the precinct. Very interesting. She goes back there. She's like, weird, I heard something in the morgue. Goes back there, and of course, all the drawers pop open, and the random stack of dead guys that they have there pop up, and they kill that cop, and then they immediately fled outside where the crowd of scared people is and start chewing and killing them. Cut back to Anthony Michael Hall. He decided to take a detour through a cemetery. And now we've already established that the zombie apocalypse is about to happen. We heard about it on the car radio. He decides to cut through the cemetery. Excellent. He's driving through the cemetery. Some random guy is running through it, and he accidentally runs into him, like, with a car. So he gets out. They all get out. Oh, my God, are you okay? The guy just keeps running. And now the zombies are popping out of the ground. So there's that. Oh, shit. What do we do? All three of them, the two teenage girls and Anthony Michael Hall, all run in different directions. As Thriller style, Michael Jackson Thriller style, the zombies are literally coming out of the ground, their graves. Genius. Genius. Anthony Michael Hall and his daughter Tracy managed to run to a tool shed or a gardener shed, I don't know. And they kind of hunker down there. Unfortunately, Rachel, the friend, tried to climb a tree. And she gets up on the tree and manages to keep herself safe for a few minutes. But the zombies are slowly gathering around underneath the tree. And that's pretty scary stuff. Now we're going to cut back to the Madden house, where the Russian housekeeper, a somewhat Russian housekeeper, Irina, has kind of gone off the deep end a little bit. She's like, oh, it is God's way, and he is going to be punishing you because of your blaspheming. And she's starting to get a little weird with it. So at the last minute, Alan Ruck, who plays the dad of the Maddens, Alan Ruck, by the way, you recognize that name? That's Cameron Fry from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What do you think of that? He looks exactly like Cameron Fry. He hasn't aged a day, or at least he didn't in 2013. He's like, okay, Irina, and then he, like, pushes her into a guest, like a study off the main room and locks her in there. He's like, okay, I would love to take Irina up to the safe room, but not if she's going to act like that. She'll be perfectly safe in this room. We're just waiting on the Jacksons to get here, and then we'll all pile into the safe room, and it's going to be great. So Perry, the teenage boy, is like, oh, I got to call Tracy. Where's Tracy? And now, like, the apocalypse is starting to kick off. So we got like zombies going up and down the street, people screaming outside, things like that. The Maddens are starting to get a little antsy in the pantsy, and they're thinking maybe we should just head up to the safe room and, you know, we'll be safe there. And as soon as the Jacksons show up, then we can buzz them in or whatever. Little bit of infighting there. Nothing too serious just yet, though. All right. Excellent. Now we're going to cut back to the cemetery where, Anthony Michael Hall and his daughter are trying to rescue Rachel. Unfortunately, to make a very stupid situation as brief as I can, Rachel falls out of the tree, tries to run for a few minutes, but then accidentally falls into an open grave, and a bunch of zombies dogpile on top of her, and here lies Rachel. She's now a part of the zombie community, which from what I understand is very welcoming and inclusive. So, well done, Rachel. You're now part of that group. All right, great. I mean, not great. That sucks. So now we're going to cut back to the Jackson house where Grandma Jackson is in a full-on tizzy. So somebody comes to the Jackson's door and she's like, oh my God, you got to let me in. Those things are out there. And the old lady that plays the Grandma Jackson, she just keeps like howling and like waving her hand around. But she's got like a drink in the other hand, so I'm thinking maybe she was like hammered, but she's just like, oh, Bernie, we gotta let her in, woo, woo. And the lady outside is screaming while she's being gang tackled by zombies, and so she's screaming, ah, ah, and then the old lady, woo, woo. Daryl Hannah, Bertie, is going, Mom, shut up, you out there, I'm not letting you in, Mom, shut the hell up, woo. Oh, it's beautiful. Finally, Daryl Hannah is like, Mom, sit your fucking ass down and call the cops if you want to do something. So the old lady does, and she's sitting in a rocking chair with her, I hope, was vodka in one hand and the phone in the other. She calls the cops, calls 911. They patch her through to the precinct where we just saw all the morgue zombies pop out and kill everybody. And our one rogue cop has made it back to the precinct to try to help his friend. And, of course, it's just zombie town over there. But he does manage to answer the call when old lady Jackson calls. So she's like, there's zombies everywhere. I don't know. Birdie. If I had a nickel for every time that old lady shouted birdie in this movie, I would at least have like $1.65, I think. I don't know what the math is on that, but I'd have some pretty good chunk of nickels coming at me. But at the same, she's talking to this cop. The cop is like, oh my God, is this Mrs. Jackson? You used to teach high school over at wherever? Yeah, I was class of 2000. Great, I'll get over there and see if I can help you. Oh, Birdie! At this point, I have to assume that she's just drunk, right? She found the phone. She can't be blind. I don't know. I hope she was drunk. So now the rogue cop is like, okay, I'm going to go try to find my high school teacher. He has to kill a bunch of zombies there, including his friend that called him a minute ago at the precinct. And now he's like, okay, I'm going to haul ass over to the Jackson residence and try to rescue my old high school teacher, Mrs. Jackson. Great. Now about this time, a random neighbor like comes crashing through the side window of the Jackson house. African-American lady, her name is Janice. And she's like, oh my God, you got to help me. I don't know who played Janice. I'm assuming this was one of her first major roles because, again, there is the acting in this one, man. It is rough. Even from Anthony Michael Hall did okay. Daryl Hannah, okay, sure. Alan Ruck, I think, did all right. Everybody else, whoo, daddy. It is something to see. I will tell you that. She comes in, she's like, you have to help me, oh my God. Birdie's like, oh, okay, just help me with my mom. Let's get her down in the basement, it's safer there. So the black chick and Daryl Hannah load up mom, who's just still, Birdie, as they get her downstairs and they get her situated in a chair. Okay, great. Now we cut back to the Maddens, where tensions are raising, and goddammit, if a fucking zombie didn't break into the side window where Irina was stationed in the little study area. Gets in there, eats Irina. Irina's now a zombie. They now have two zombies on the premises. But luckily, they're both still in that little study there, and I don't think they know that they're zombies. They think Irina's okay. So that's going to come into play later, obviously. That sucks. Rachel's out of the equation. Now, this part is particularly stupid, and I'm not 100% sure what the fuck happened here, but it's hilarious to watch. We get mom situated in the basement. Birdie and Janice go back upstairs to wait for Anthony Michael Hall. Mom is down in the basement, and she seems to be doing okay for a second, and then she just tries to get out of her chair and does like a, whoa, Birdie! And this is the part where I know that she's not blind because she picks up a lantern like, oh shit, I gotta find my way out of this dark basement. But instead, she does like three twirly twirls, knocks over a bunch of crap, and then lays down and dies. I don't know. I guess it was just crazy mom's time to die. And it was unfortunate that it happened to happen during the zombie apocalypse, because in a few minutes, she's going to get right back up and be a zombie. But that death scene, I wish somebody could explain to me how mom died. Did she just stub her toe and that was enough to put her over the edge, or just the sheer psychological stress of being in a dark basement by herself for a few minutes? I don't know. It was very silly to watch. All right, anyway. Now there's a bunch of Birdie and Janice are like, oh shit, let's go back downstairs. Cut back to the Madden's house. There's a bunch of banging coming from that side room. So they're like, oh shit, clearly something got in there and got to Irina. well, I guess we don't have to pay her to clean the house anymore. That's great. But we should probably get ourselves up into the goddamn safe room. But Perry is like, no, we have to wait for Tracy. I think I'm going to marry her. And Alan Ruck is like, shut your fucking mouth and get up there, you piece of shit. That's things are getting, and now they're like pulling guns and stuff like that because, you know, they have guns and stuff. It's kind of like the Purge kind of a situation. But, all right, pretty scary. Now we're going to cut back to the Jackson house. Bertie and Janice go back downstairs where we find Mom has unfortunately expired due to the pressure of being a mom and a grandma in 2024 during a zombie apocalypse. They're like, oh, shit, Mom, what happened? Oh, shit, she's dead. Okay, fuck. And then, of course, Mom reanimates and starts attacking Janice. Unfortunately, Bertie shoots her like 14 times and then eventually puts one in her head and down goes Mom. I wish we could have had Mom around for at least another 25 minutes just for comic relief. I know I'm supposed to feel for the character, but she was just so fucking ridiculous. It was just gold. Anyway, Mom's dead. Good news. Bertie and Janice, neither one of them actually got bit by Mom, so they're okay. But now they hear the banging coming from upstairs. So they're like, oh, fuck. Zombies got into the house. Let's go up there. And luckily, it just happens to be Anthony Michael Hall and Tracy who made it back to their house. So they let them into the basement. Okay, great. They're hanging for a few minutes. About this time, we cut back to the Madden house. And this is when Irina and the other zombie bust through the door while Alan Ruck and Perry are arguing about whether or not they should go into the safe room. And they take Perry down. They take him down and bite him and kill him. And now he's dead. So, fuck. Not only that, but they kind of trap Alan, the younger son, like behind a bookcase or something like that. So, Perry's dead. He's getting eaten by Irina and the other zombie. Alan Ruck and his wife are there. They're trying to help Alan get around them, but they can't because he's kind of like pinned behind there. And they don't want the other zombies to get wise to the fact that he's behind those bookcases. So they're like, ah, shit. About this time is when the Jacksons show up at the Madden house. And they're outside on the security system. Hey, let us in, dude. We're here. We made it. Come on. You got to let us in. And Alan Ruck is like, hey, dude, I want to let you guys in, but I can see all those zombies behind you, so I got to protect my family. Why don't you guys go ahead and fuck yourselves? And he's like, God damn it, you son of a bitch. You said you were going to let me in. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. All right. I like you. You're a good guy, but, you know, I can't. I'm not going to open the door. So, no. So, that fucking sucks. about this time, the zombies are slowly encircling the Madden or the Jackson family that is right outside the Madden front door. So they go hauling ass around the side of the house and they decide to hide in what is probably the worst idea ever, just given the circumstances. They decide to hide in a greenhouse. Of all the places to hide, you pick the one that is made completely out of windows that people and zombies can see through. This is a writing flaw. You understand that? I mean, there's a lot of problems with this movie, but this one could have been fixed in the writing process. Okay, we have a greenhouse. It doesn't make any fucking sense for them to hide there. Tell you what, how about they go behind the greenhouse and they hunker down behind some bushes? That would make a lot more sense. Having them jump into a fucking glass building to hide. Okay. All right. Whatever, man. I'm not. It's. That's a thing. Anyway, they all run in there and hide, and they're doing okay for a minute because I don't. Maybe these fucking zombies can't see through transparent glass, and the zombies are passing by, so we're thinking we're okay for a minute. But then, of course, the zombies notice them because they're in a greenhouse. And they all start encircling the greenhouse now. We're looking around trying to figure out how we're going to get out of this greenhouse that's made out of windows. And they get lucky because there's a skylight that opens up. So they pop open the skylight and they all climb out onto the roof of the greenhouse. Everything's going pretty swimmingly. The glass is starting to crack as more zombies show up and start pushing on it. And they all get up on the roof, and wouldn't you know physics, Janice, unfortunately, the glass panel that she's standing on shatters, and she goes plummeting back into the greenhouse where the zombies have now made entrance, and they eat Janice, and that's the end of that. Unfortunate for Janice, but the end was nigh, I guess. Hey, you know what? If the zombie apocalypse is on, I would rather get killed by zombies than of just spinning around in a, spinning around in a basement like a lunatic. All right, I don't know, man. This movie is fucking silly, and I'm slowly talking myself into falling in love with it. So that happens. Because the rest of the Jackson clan is on the roof of the greenhouse, they can kind of climb up onto the Madden family balcony of one of the bedrooms, I guess. So they do that, and they get into the house, and they walk in, and they see this kind of standoff situation with Alan Ruck and his wife trying to get Alan, the youngest son, around the zombies that are eating Perry, the oldest son. By the way, Perry hasn't reanimated yet, so that's a good thing. We have that going for us. You're like, oh shit, what do we do? Okay, I don't know. Anthony Michael Hall goes in and he's like, Alan, just you kind of, you know, hey, just come this way, be real quiet, and we'll get you out of here. Alan gets about halfway around the zombies, and of course, that's about the time that Perry reanimates and grabs Alan, and now it's time for Alan Ruck to be the hero, Mr. Madden. He goes in there and he's like, look, oh, my son, and he gets eaten by zombie Perry. Zombie Irina, but he does manage to save Alan, which is good. So Alan gets out, and they kind of pull him away. But now, unfortunately, Mr. Madden is now zombified also. So at this point of our survivors, we are down to Anthony Michael Hall, Birdie, Tracy, the teenage daughter, and we've now taken on the younger Madden son, Alan, and the Madden wife, Madden trophy wife. So what are we up to? Six people in total? Okay, great. We got that going for us. We got to get the fuck out of here. We hear on the radio that there's some kind of a military checkpoint or evacuation point. We got to try to get to that. But that's a ways away, number one. That's the bad news. The good news, though, is that apparently there are reports coming in from Europe that as soon as the sun comes up, it immediately puts all the zombies back to dead mode, where they all just lay over on the floor and go back to being corpses. So all we got to do is make it through the night. As soon as the sun comes up, we're good to go, bros. Unfortunately, though, we can't stay here at the Madden residence because zombies know we're here and they're banging on the doors. And bang, they just crash into the ground floor. So we got to get the fuck out of here. So we go out on the balcony again, and we get down, and we take off running down the street. Everything's cool for a minute or two. We make it to what appears to be a construction site. I think they were under the impression, they saw the flashing lights, and they thought they were cops or something, so they went that way. Turns out it's just a construction site that was shut down. What are we going to do? I don't know. There's a manhole cover there, so Anthony Michael Hall is like, we got it. Let's go in the sewer. That's a great idea. So they pop the manhole cover open and lower themselves into the sewer tunnels, which is great. They manage to evade that particular wave of zombies, and now they're traipsing about in the sewers. But to be fair, this didn't really look like a sewer system, like Ninja Turtle style. Looked more like a cave system or something. But it's got the lights going on so you can see where you're going and stuff. It's pretty good times. They get down there. They get traipsing around. Eventually, they come to a part where the zombies now know that they're in there. And they're now digging in the ground. And they're managing to dig through to the tunnel situation. So that's pretty gnarly. They find like a shallow spot and all the zombies are falling from the ceiling. Anthony Michael Hall and the rest of the Jackson clan find like a weird cardboard slash pegboard just a random array of wood products neatly arranged into a perfectly fitting shape of a wall, and they just kind of pull it across the tunnel, and they're like, okay, we just got to wait till the sun comes up and we'll be fine. So if we can just hold them here until the sun comes up, it's great. And then they kind of like all put their backs against this big cardboard thing, and while the zombies are coming and they're pushing against it. At this point, the maddened mom makes the bright idea. Hey, we're not going to help you guys. We got to go. So she grabs Alan, her son, and they go taking off down the tunnels. The Jacksons, Birdie, Mike, Anthony Michael Hall, and Tracy, the teenage daughter, are still holding the barricade. This is when we go into hero mode, and we get that part where Anthony Michael Hall is going, you guys go, I'll buy you some time, you gotta save yourself. No, I'm not gonna leave you. Run, Birdie. That is the dumbest name ever, man. I cannot get past that. Why would you name a character Birdie? What is that short for? Is that Roberta, maybe, and she goes by Birdie? No. Not if you're older than 5 years old, you do not go by Birdie. You're a grown-ass woman. Get the fuck out. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm hung up on Birdie. It's something about that just pisses me off. Anyway, Birdie and Tracy go hauling ass down into the tunnels, and they manage to pop out. They're like, okay, we made it out. Great. They don't know what happened to the Maddens. They're like, oh, when they pop out, by the way, they're right back in the fucking cemetery, so... Really, the cemetery and the two houses, I think, were all within like a 50-yard thing, which was another 50 yards away from the traffic jam, and then probably about 100 yards away from the police precinct. So that's where that goes. Anyway, they pop up and they go hauling ass through the cemetery. It takes the zombies a few minutes to catch on that they're living people. So they're like, oh, shit. So now the zombies are chasing them. And this is where we realize that the Maddens... Trophy Wife and Alan just stopped and hunkered down behind a tombstone, and they're fighting off zombie Rachel with a stick. And by fighting her off, I mean she's basically using Alan like a human shield, and she's kind of just pointing the stick at Rachel's face. Tracy's like, Rachel, you bitch! And she goes and smashes zombie Rachel in the head and saves Alan, but unfortunately, a few other zombies jump on Madden Mom, so she's now dead. Okay. Shit. Scary stuff. Now it's down to Birdie, Tracy, and Alan. And Birdie makes the ingenious move to go hide in the mausoleum. We are in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, and you want to go hide in the place where there are literally dead people in the walls. That's where you want that's your safe house. That's your go-to. Okay. Again, see, these are problems that should have been addressed in the writing phase. Somebody needed to raise their hand and say, the mausoleum, you think that's a good idea? Okay, whatever. I'm not here to pick this thing apart, because in the end, I actually did enjoy this movie. Probably not the way I was supposed to, but I laughed my ass off. They run into the fucking mausoleum, man. All right. It's already a bunch of zombies in there that managed to break out of the walls. Birdie manages to find a cavalry saber in one of the caskets. So she goes all Kill Bill on him, no pun intended. And manages to kind of fight them off for a few minutes. But now the zombie horde knows that they're in the mausoleum, so they're trying to get in there. She makes an even better move. She decides to put Alan and Tracy in a coffin and stick them in one of the wall shelves. Okay. So you want to keep them safe, right? That's the plan. You think the zombies won't get them if they won't think to pop open a casket because... probably just another dead guy in there. Okay, I'm with you on that. But suppose you don't make it through the night, my dear. How are they going to get out of said casket? They won't be able to open the top because it's in one of those wall locker shelf things. They won't be able to slide it out to get it open because they're inside the fucking coffin. You may have just condemned them to a fate worse than death. They're going to have to eat each other in there if you don't live. All right, you... Again, somebody probably should have raised their hand at the writers' meeting and been like, is that a good idea? I don't know. All right, that's just me thinking out loud. What else? So, yeah, bang, bang, bang. She's whipping this cavalry saber around like a ninja maniac. Somebody comes up behind her, and fuck me if it isn't Anthony Michael Hall. He's like, hey, I made it. I saw all the ruckus going on over here. I figured it had to be you guys. So he gets in there, and they start pounding away at the zombies and smashing them up and stuff. And then we cut to inside the coffin. Tracy and Alan are having a genuine freak out. They decide to get claustrophobic all of a sudden, and Alan's little stuffed animal goes off. Just shut that thing up. And then, suddenly the coffin is being pulled out of the shelf. Oh, you got, it's going to be zombies. They pop it open, and it's just Daryl Hannah and Anthony Michael Hall. The sun has come up. Ladies and gentlemen, the zombies have gone down, and we have a somewhat happy ending because the Jacksons made it, and they can, I guess, adopt Anthony what was his name? Alan, and he can be a Jackson now instead of a Madden. So that's the end of your movie right there. Zombie Night, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you right now, it's bad. I don't think it's so bad it's good, but if you watch this, you will definitely get a chuckle or two out of it, because there is some really asinine shit going on. We also have some of the worst acting, non-acting, that I've seen in a very long time. really, you could probably just watch like the first 15 minutes. All the parts with Daryl Hannah's mom. I think that's the high point of the situation right there. It's bad. It's streaming on Tubi if you're interested. If I have piqued your curiosity, by all means, check it out. Let me know what you think. Is it as bad as I said it was? Is it so bad it's good? Did you watch it? Have you seen it before? Did you get some chuckles out of it the way I did? Let me know. Area code 775-387-0275 or paddedroompodcast.com. Just hit the mail link. In the meantime, inmates, I'm going to take myself a little break here and come back to you with some other stuff.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And I am back, inmates. I feel better. I got some water. I'm having a Arctic vibe Celsius here to keep me going tonight. And I am ready to take you to Meat Hook Town.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook, top three zombidies, zombie comedies. There's many of them. Most of them are not very good. I picked my top three. I would love to hear what your top three are. I'm going to start mine off with number three, little film. Again, before I get into this, let me talk to you about what I think you need for a good zombity. You got to have zombies, obviously. You got to have comedy. But what I feel you need is a good mixture of horror and comedy. You gotta mix in some dread there. You know what I mean? Make me wonder about the heroes. Make me wonder who's going to live and who's going to die. Things like that. So that being said, my number three is a movie you may not think of as a zombity, but I'm going to stick it in here anyway. It's called Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I think it's from 1976, if I'm not mistaken. A bunch of flamboyant actors go to a cemetery island, and do a black magic ritual, and then basically fuck off for the rest of the night, dicking around with a dead body that they dug up. Unbeknownst to them, the black magic is slowly working, and the zombies from the cemetery are coming out of the ground. The ending is pretty gnarly, but the flamboyantness of the fucking actors and the complete meltdown of them once the zombies start popping up, I always thought of it as extremely humorous. I don't know if it was designed to be that way. I think you're supposed to be like worried about them, but I thought it was hilarious because these guys were complete and total cream puffs, as they say. My number two, the tried and true classic, is probably going to be number one on a lot of people's lists. It's Shaun of the Dead. I love me some Shaun of the Dead. Kind of invigorated the zombie subgenre. I don't think we had a lot of zombie comedies going into 2000, when did that come out? 2006, 2004, I think, Shaun of the Dead. After that, they started popping up left and right. Everybody's using zombies as a punchline. You know, you got your, Zombieland. You got your fucking Warm Bodies. Were Fido, for Christ's sakes. They're all over the place, man. There's 1,000 of them. I think that one kind of kickstarted that whole tidal wave of zombies. Humor's great. I feel like a little bit of it is lost in just the cultural differences between the United States and England. like when they're all trying to figure out how to use the gun. I've never even seen one before. It's a great show. Everybody loves it. I don't think anybody does not like Shaun of the Dead. Myself included, obviously. But my number one is going to be a newer film. I know you've seen it. You may or may not like it as much as I do, but the humor is spot on. The feeling of dread is spot on because you think that somebody, one of these dudes, is going to get killed. I'm talking about The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, I said it. I think it's better than Shaun of the Dead. I think it's better than Zombieland. On just a zombity scale. That's going to be my number one. I think it was funnier than both of those. anything with David Koechner in it is going to get like three notches up. It's got zombie strippers. They're pretty good, pretty hot ones too, if I do say so myself. It's great. I think it's the best. I'm going to tell you right now. You can fight me if you want. I would love to know what your top three zombies are, inmates. Again, area code 775-387-0275. Let me know, or just go over to paddedroompodcast.com, click the meat hook link, and let me know what your top three zombies are. I would love to know. And if you're mad because I picked Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse over Zombieland or Shaun of the Dead, well, that's fine. That's good for you. You're not going to change my opinion, but I'm glad you're thinking about it, at least. And I've at least got a reaction out of you. So there's that. In the meantime, I think it's time for me to tell you what movies I got to watch this week in a little segment called What Are You Looking At?
What are you looking at?
I'm doing 30 for 30. We're halfway to Halloween, motherfuckers. And I didn't really need an excuse to watch 30 horror movies, but since you gave me one, I might as well do it, right? It's April. We're officially halfway to Halloween. I do 31 for 31 in October. Why can't I do it in April? Really, what I should try to do is 365 for 365. I don't know if I have that kind of time on my hands, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I'm doing it for April. 30 for 30, baby. I started it off with Rotten Tail from 2018. Joe Bob is back, everybody. Him and Darcy the Mail Girl, they're on Shudder. They're doing things a little differently, different format. They're doing one movie every 2 weeks. But I think they're going to do it, like, year-round. I don't know if they're going to take any time off. Because they usually do, 18 movies, but they do them double features. Now they're doing one every 2 weeks, so that's, I don't know, it's going to make for a longer season for them. They started it off with Rotten Tail from 2018. It's a silly fucking movie. It's basically about a were-rabbit dude that gets infected with a rabbit DNA. And you know what the weirdest part about this is? I was watching this movie, and the main guy, the main character, it's played by a dude named Corin Nemec. And I'm watching this thinking, I know this fucking guy. I don't know where I know him from. I've seen him in something or other. And then Joe Bob pops in and he's like, yeah, Corin Nemec. You may remember him from Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Remember Parker Lewis Can't Lose? That was my favorite show when I was a kid. He was Parker Lewis, dude. Parker Lewis is now a were-rabbit guy. Ah. He was also in the original Stand movie. I don't know if anybody remembers that either, but he was hot, like in the 90s. He was popping up all over the place. Now he's a were-rabbit. He did great, though. It's a dumb fucking movie, but I thought it was all right for what it was. I watched that. I watched Creepshow from 1982. I don't need to tell you about that. Everybody's seen it. Camp 139 from 2013. Low budget as shit. Kids go on a camping trip. Turns out one of them is a psychological experiment, and then they stumble upon an abandoned military base, and he starts killing everybody. It was a half-assed attempt to make like a Jason Voorhees slasher in the woods type of thing. Didn't really work out the way they thought, I don't think. Not that great of a show. Shut In from 2016, starring Naomi Watts. And Oliver Platt, also in that one. I feel like this was kind of like Misery, but if the roles were reversed. So her son is pretending to be in a vegetative state. Well, it's actually her stepson. And then we get into some weird, what do you call, like, it doesn't really get sexual, but he's got a very unhealthy perspective on his stepmom. But if you go to xvideos.com, there are bazillions of stepmom videos, performance pieces, as I like to call them, and I don't know. Maybe he just watched too many of those or something. I don't know. It's not quite incestuous, but if had things gone differently, it very well could have been. But his stepmom is Naomi Watts, so you can't fault him for that, right? The Dark and the Wicked from 2020. I cannot get enough of this fucking movie. And the reason why I like it so much, it's dark. It's very disturbing. It's basically a haunted sheep farm. But you got like a very hostile entity that is really fucking with these people. And like a lot of the visual stuff is really disturbing. And not like on a gross guttural level, but just like on a, you know, if I was living in a haunted house, first I would probably think it was pretty cool. But when shit like that started happening, that's probably when I would start packing my bags. Because it gets pretty rough, man. I've seen it hundreds of times. It's probably one of my favorite horror movies. The aforementioned Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. My son loves the hell out of that movie. He's probably too young to watch it. He's 9, but he's already seen it 350 times. So why not make it 351? And then the last one I finished just before this show. And I'd like to tell you about it because I think I may have struck gold with this one. It's called The Hopewell Haunting, and it's made by a guy named Dane Sears. It just came out earlier this year. Picture, if you will, a classic gothic ghost story, but told through a lens of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That is probably the best way that I can put it. It's a no-nonsense horror film that is there to disturb and disrupt you, which is great. It's clearly on a very low budget, but I thought it was a great show for what it was. A lot of the directing, if you watch this movie, it reminded me also a lot of X, because if you watch X, you can see little elements of Texas Chainsaw Massacre pop up in X. You can see similar elements pop up in The Hopewell Haunting. I saw it on Prime. I recommend everybody check this out. I think you'll dig it. Very low budget, but very suspenseful. The fucking locations that this dude found to make this movie will blow you away. Just the house and the... I don't want to give too much away, but it's definitely worth a watch. Hit me up if you need a link to it. It's streaming right now on Amazon Prime. It's The Hopewell Haunting from 2023. Check that shit out, dudes. You're going to thank me for it, I promise. And that's all I'm looking at this week. How about a little immersion therapy, huh?
Immersion therapy.
Has everybody seen Titan already? That is a fucked up movie. I don't know what else to tell you, man. Chick gets pregnant by a car and then passes herself off as a dude in a firehouse because she's also a serial killer, and then gives birth to a weirdo mech baby, I think. Kind of hard to figure that one out. All I can tell you is it's French, and what did you expect watching a French film? That's the kind of shit that will you'll see. You'll see chicks get banged by apparently sentient rapist cars at that. Good show. I'm not going to I don't feel the need to I saw it once. I don't feel the need to watch it again. But watching it the first time, you can't help but wonder what the hell is going to happen next. Cuz we've already gone completely off the rails when the chick got pregnant by a car. Okay? So, what else? Is fucking Dragon going to come in here and roast her? I don't know. You don't know where these French fuckers are going, dude. You just got to buckle up and enjoy the ride, and hopefully they drop you off at home when they're done with you. It's a good show. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out once. I'm not going to buy it, and I'm probably never going to watch it again. But, you know, if it comes up at a party, oh yeah, check out Titan. You're going to love that. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be The Inhabitant from 2022. This one is presently streaming on Hulu. It stars Leslie Bibb and Dermot Mulroney, directed by Jaron Lauder. Check that shit out, inmates. I will do the same, and we can compare notes next week. But now, you must educate me.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. I am a college professor, and I am hoping to prove the existence of paranormal energies and activities. What I'm going to do that is assemble a team of psychics, proven psychics, and I'm going to take them to what is probably the most haunted house that I know of. This house is insane, dude. You go in there on a Monday, you count 150 rooms, go back on Tuesday, there's only 96. It seems to just keep changing and shifting itself. The entire house does. So I'm going to bring these psychics in here, and they're going to reactivate the psychic battery of this place, and I will record and collect data. And and I'm also banging the kid that now owns the place, and I'm going to try to convince him to not tear it down for a strip mall. I am, of course, Rose Red. Alan, you were so close, man. You were in the right neighborhood. I was talking about Rose Red. That's a great movie. Stephen King, I believe, wrote the screenplay to it. And there are two books that came out. One of them is The Diary of Ellen Rimbauer, which if you're paying attention, if you're like some kind of a Rose Red super fan like I am, you can read that book, and there's a foreword that is written by Dr. Joyce Reardon, which was Nancy Travis's character in the movie. Great show. There is also a prequel to it entitled The Diary of Ellen Rimbauer, which is like it's a movie. It's not that good. It just has to do with people disappearing in the house, and that's about it. So if you got, I think, 4 hours to kill, it's one of those made-for-TV miniseries. That's like 4 hours long. You know what I mean? That's my main problem with Stephen King. He loves optioning his biggest books to NBC, and they stretch them out over 2 weeks. So now you got to, if you want to watch the fucking movie, it's 12 and a half hours long. You got to call into work. All right, anyway, who might I be this week, you ask? Well, I am on my way to, I just bought this villa in Italy, and it is fucking amazing. It's all, you know, antique stuff. I'm apparently a super rich guy, so I got that going for me. And I just bought it. My professor friend is there because apparently it's sitting on some kind of a historical graveyard situation. So he's there doing like archaeological work. But I have set up what I'm hoping is some kind of a funky swingers weekend. I brought my new girlfriend, and a couple of my buddies brought their girlfriends. And there's a maid and a butler there, and we're all going to go up there to the villa and get hammered and probably try to have sex with each other. Goddamn, if my girlfriend didn't bring her fucking son with her, who appears to be about 28 years old, but stuck in the body of a, maybe a 9-year-old or something, I don't know. And he still breastfeeds, too. Yeah, and he's like cock blocking me, and I about had it with this little shit. Anyway, that's the plan for the weekend, and I really hope that the dead people underneath the villa don't pop up and start eating us and attacking us and otherwise keeping me from getting laid this weekend, because that's really what this whole thing is all about. Anyway, who might I be, you ask? Tune in next week, and I will drop some knowledge on you, inmates. In the meantime, I think that's about it for me. Thank you guys very much for joining me yet again for a solo show. I know these can be a tough pill to swallow. I feel like a crazy person in my guest room talking to myself like this. But I do it anyway because, I don't want to miss a week. Join me next week for Shaun of the Dead. I'm going to do Shaun of the Dead next week. Hopefully somebody shows up to do it with me. You never know. In the meantime, like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this show. That helps the old visibility quite a bit. If you feel like making a small contribution, I've got a whole prize swag tier system set up over at Patreon. Just go to paddedroompodcast.com, find the Patreon link, click the button there. It'll tell you what you need to do, where you need to go, and all the fun shit that I am going to send to you if you choose to make such a donation. In the meantime, for Buddy in absentia, Jason in absentia, horny Italians and the swingers weekends that they set up, and somehow it always goes to shit, as, you know, is wont to do in the horror films. Fucking zombies. Yeah, I don't like them. I mean, what? Fast ones? Slow ones? Some of them have, like, guns affixed to them. You don't... What, bioweapons? Never a good sign. If you're dead, sometimes dead is better. To quote the great Judd Crandall. Sometimes dead is better. And the Padded Room Podcast. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.